Maybe you don't own an Apple product or use any Microsoft software, and maybe you don't have a Facebook account or buy things from Amazon, but there's a good chance that if you use any modern electronics, you'll at least interface with Google over the course of a day, either with an Android phone or in a web search. So going completely without the five tech giants, Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, Google, and Amazon, is just plain hard in today's world. Our next guest found out how hard. Journalist Daniel Oberhaus went big tech free for a month and wrote about it online at Motherboard, part of Vice Media, where he's a staff writer. Daniel, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me.
So what set this up? What led to your decision to quit the tech giants?
I had a really old phone that I'd been using for a while that I was looking to get rid of, and I was speaking to my editor about, just what are some good newer models that I should look into, and that conversation quickly devolved into, hey, why don't you try to, live without a high-tech smartphone for a while, and then that from there it went straight to, and if you're going to live without a smartphone, why don't you just try to live without pretty much every major tech platform for a month and see how that goes.
That first vignette with the guy on the phone store that you write about, you were trying to basically go backwards in phone. I mean, how weird did some people think your quest was?
I think a lot of people thought it was going to be impossible, and to a certain degree they were right. When I had gone to the Verizon phone store, I was looking for a really old phone model because I needed to try to port a different mobile operating system onto a phone, and a lot of more modern phones have locked bootloaders, so they don't allow you to do that. So I was trying to find a SIM card for this really old phone, and the guy just kind of looked at me, like I was out of my rocker, trying to get this phone from 2011 fitted with a SIM card, and I think that a lot of people felt very, very similarly about this idea.
Well, yeah, 2011 phone in 2018 is really ancient by today's technology standards. So what was the degree of difficulty, A, and then B, how did it compare with your expectations of the degree of difficulty?
I think it aligned pretty much exactly with what I expected it to be. It was incredibly difficult. Google was definitely the harder of the companies to quit. I left Facebook a while ago. I never used Apple products to begin with. So it was mostly just about trying to figure out how to get Google and Amazon and Microsoft out of my life, and all of those products I would use, most of them on a daily basis, products like Amazon at least, several times a month. So it's quite difficult.
Let's take a little aside here. You mentioned in the piece in Motherboard that you have lived overseas, which raises the question about how much less ubiquitous, if at all, these five tech giants are over there.
I think it depends on where you're at. I was living in India for a while, and there, as well as some time I had spent in Europe, WhatsApp is a major communication tool, and that's, of course, owned by Facebook. But if you're traveling somewhere like in China, for instance, Google is going to be far less ubiquitous. If you're in Russia, it's going to be less ubiquitous. So it really depends on what region of the world you're in. But, Facebook is one of those companies that you'll find pretty much everywhere these days.
Mm-hmm. And in our part of the world, certainly I hear plenty of I hate Microsoft claims. In fact, I think I hear it daily. I'm not going to say from who in our office, but it seems like it is often easier to complain and yet continue to use the products.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I myself am guilty of that. Here I am 6 months later after doing this experiment, and despite learning how to leave all these products, a lot of them crept back in my life almost immediately after the experiment ended. So it's hard to keep up the spirit of the mission, I guess.
Daniel Oberhaus is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a staff writer at Motherboard, part of Vice Media. He wrote about leaving behind for a month Apple, Amazon, Google, Facebook, and Microsoft. Your comments, questions, reflections on this, whether you've tried it yourself, more than welcome on the Jefferson Exchange. By phone, give us a call at 800-838-3760 to share your story or ask your question, or communicate via email, jx@jeffnet.org. And yes, you'll end up using at least one of the five along the way. So one of the keys, it seems like, in your motivation, Daniel, was that the tech giants truly are giant. I mean, we're now talking about several companies approaching or exceeding $1 trillion in stock value each. And you say it's not by providing great products.
Yeah. Actually, since the experiment had concluded in June. I think Amazon became the first to pass $1 trillion, and now between them and Google and Apple, they're worth well over $3 trillion. And yeah, with the exception of Microsoft and Apple, most of these companies make this money through questionable uses of user data, from my perspective. I think Google is especially should be singled out for how they have built this massive organization on top of using our data in ways that I think a lot of people aren't really aware of, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's the part that really kind of got my attention as well, was the idea that there are ways in which you're using work of the tech giants and not necessarily always aware that you are.
Absolutely. Something that I found really disturbing through this experiment was just how hard it was to leave Android, which a lot of people don't know is actually on 86% of the phones sold in the world now. So, and the rest of the 14% are all Apple. So there's basically no independent mobile market. And for a company like Google, Android is given away for free. It's nominally open source, although I have issues with labeling it that for, that's a whole other story. But these products that Google gives you, such as Android, that's basically them using these free products to drive you to their real moneymaker, which is search, which is then itself all about driving ad revenue and targeting ads towards their users. So a lot of these free services that we've just become so accustomed to using, the costs are hidden, and what you're really paying for is your data and privacy.
So I didn't realize that the ubiquity of both the Android operating system and iOS is that there's basically that's it, those two for the whole world generally?
Yeah, I think the stat is for 2017 is something like 0.01% of smartphones in the world run an alternative operating system.
Well, which you did then for a month, though. So tell us about that operating system that you did run your phone with.
Well, so I tried to. I wasn't entirely successful at that. So I was attempting to use an operating system called Sailfish, which was created by a small Finnish company back in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. And so that's an open source operating system. It's entirely independent of any particular hardware platform or operating system such as Android. It runs off the Linux kernel. And if you have a device that will support it, usually an Android phone, I haven't seen anyone do it on Apple, you can port this operating system onto the phone and run it entirely Google-free. So it has its own native app store. It has a lot of native applications that work on it. But if you don't want to give up things like, say, Uber or Lyft or these various alternative services, there's ways to also sideload Android applications onto the operating system. So I had attempted to do this with a Samsung phone, the 2011 model I was speaking about earlier. The problem is that my carrier is Verizon, and they lock a lot of their bootloaders. So I wasn't actually able to gain access to the, root directory of my phone to do this, which I think also kind of highlights another issue is how these various companies can also make it difficult to leave the big five. So Verizon wasn't one of the companies I was trying to quit, but because of the way they locked their hardware down, it also made it impossible for me to get Google off of my phone.
Okay, so you went to the big five plus Verizon then in your drought. It's interesting. So the operating system itself would have let you, the phone would have let you, but not your phone company.
Yeah. So that was an unexpected hurdle. And as I mentioned, I wasn't actually able to get Android off of my phone at the end. So what I ended up doing was there's an Android community, people who hack operating systems for mobile devices called the Android Open Kang Project. And so they create alternative versions of Android that don't have Google services pre-baked into them. And so although I wasn't leaving Android specifically, I was using a version of Android that was developed entirely independently of Google by these developers.
So the presence of that development group makes it sound like there are some people who feel as you do that there's a little too much strength in the hands of the tech giants.
Yeah, I mean, as hard as it was to try to excise these services from my life, one of the more inspiring parts about doing this experiment was the amount of reader feedback that I got after I had written about it. It clearly touched a nerve with a lot of people. A lot of people wrote to share about, you know, tips that I should have tried that I didn't, or things that have worked in their lives, or to talk about their own struggles or ask for advice, or just to say, like, you know, I wish more people would do stuff like this. So that was really, really heartening to see that.
Daniel Oberhaus is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, a journalist, staff writer at Motherboard, which is part of Vice Media. He wrote about spending a month without the tech giants, Apple, Amazon, Google, Facebook, and Microsoft. And as you heard, he had to add Verizon in there, too, because they wouldn't let him unlock his own phone. You can join the conversation on the Exchange. Compare experiences, 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Becca in Lane County writes, I think it's just a matter of time before someone brings down either the whole internet or parts of it for who knows how long. Is that a concern you share in your writing about tech?
It's not a concern I share deeply. I think it was last year, a couple of teenagers had managed to bring down a server, and the entire East Coast of the United States went without internet. Without the internet, there was still internet, but most major sites that you would want to go to weren't available because of this hack. So I don't think it's a totally baseless fear, but what concerns me, I guess, far more is how much of our internet and telecommunications infrastructure is in the hands of these handful of companies.
Is more regulation needed? Is that one of the observations you're making here, that it's in this handful of companies and the regulation touch appears to be fairly light at this point in history?
Yeah, I think more regulation is needed, although I would add the caveat that I don't think our regulators know what to do. When Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO of Facebook, recently went to testify before Congress, it was pretty clear that a lot of our elected representatives didn't actually know what Facebook was or how it worked. And so it's very difficult to craft effective regulation that addresses the problems with the way these companies do business if our legislators themselves don't actually understand how they work.
Yeah, there was the famous interchange, I think, with Senator Orrin Hatch about how can you do this Facebook thing for free? And the answer was, we sell advertising, Senator.
Right.
Which, advertising from who? Well, it's about us. I mean, they're selling our information out there, which is one of the major issues that people have. What was the thing you missed the most in the month that you spent without the tech giants, Daniel?
I would say Google Maps, without a doubt. There's really nothing comparable in terms of the quality of that particular application. Like, all the alternative map services don't hold a candle to it.
Could you even access those through the operating system you ended up running on the phone?
I could if I wanted to, yes. But so, like, Google Maps was off limits for me within the parameters of the experiment. But I think I ended up using MapQuest for most of the month, which was, you know, it was fine, but you miss things like, I live in New York, so it doesn't have a really accurate subway schedule. If it has one at all, it doesn't have bike routes and things like that that I would frequently use with Google Maps.
Okay, a lot of information that comes along with the map that you didn't have with MapQuest. And it sounds like, as you've already mentioned, you missed Facebook the least. Had you actually stopped using that, did you say, before you got the month going?
Yeah, I had deleted that directly after the news about the Cambridge Analytica scandal broke last year.
All right, and haven't been back since?
No, haven't been back since. And I even got like the last social media platform I was using was Twitter, which I think is useful for a lot of things that Facebook didn't have in its value proposition for my own personal life, but. I got to say, it's really nice not having social media in my life at all.
Well, that was my next question, is whether you do any social media at all anymore, and the answer is no. So do you ever get this, do you ever get the FOMO anymore, the fear of missing out?
No, not nearly as much as I thought I was going to. In fact, I think, if anything, I have less FOMO now than I did when I was using social media, just because it's kind of one of those phenomenons, like, you don't know what you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you don't know of the events that you won't be able to attend and that sort of thing. And then the things that are important, like the events that people really care that I'm there at, that people will reach out through different channels to say, hey, come to this thing. Or if there's a really important breaking news story and I'm not on Twitter, I'm going to hear about it eventually. Just because of all the different information channels that are available on the internet. So,
So friends are keeping you in the loop anyway.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a lot of people discount how much, you know, they interact with people on a more personal basis outside of social media.
Did you even use Gmail or email of any kind in the month that you were off the tech giants?
I did, yeah. I used a service called ProtonMail, which their service is kind of predicated on this idea of encrypted email. So it's a security-based email service. And I really liked it. It was easy to integrate with my mobile devices. That was actually a pretty easy one to replace.
We mentioned FOMO, the fear of missing out. You also mentioned in the article at Motherboard, FOSS, F-O-S-S. What does that stand for?
That's a acronym for free and open source software, which was kind of what I was trying to replace all these services with. I ended up using some proprietary apps that just weren't made by the big five companies, but I tried to rely on open source software, and what distinguishes that is that it's basically made through a collaborative peer-to-peer network of developers around the world. It's provided for free, and there's really no restrictions on how you use it.
And you mentioned earlier using some of the Linux operating system, the open source operating system there. What was that? And was that your desktop computing or your laptop?
Yeah, that was on my PC. I was a little bit apprehensive about trying to use Linux because my prior experience with it had mostly been with really big tech nerds who know exactly what they're doing when they use a computer, and it seemed like you had a lot of really deep knowledge about how a computer works to use Linux, and I found the experience to actually be quite the opposite. There's a lot of really user-friendly Linux distributions available nowadays to replace Windows or iOS. So I was pleasantly surprised.
So when the month was over, when the experiment was over, what was the first thing you needed to go back to or felt like you had to go back to right away?
Most Google products I had to go back to immediately, just because a lot of my work that I do with my colleagues interfaces through Google. So using Google Docs to edit articles we're working on. My company's email runs through Gmail server, so having access to that. So that crept in day one. And I ended up going back to Microsoft to use most of the time. And I was already off of Facebook. I don't use Apple, so those didn't come back. And Amazon I'll use still on very rare occasions. I don't have a Prime account anymore, but sometimes there's things that I cannot find in the city for the life of me, so I will go on there.
That's amazing. Something you can't find in New York City, but, you know,
yeah.
Not everything can be everywhere. So overall, do you feel somewhat lighter? I mean, it sounds like it changed your life a bit.
I would say it changed it in both positive and negative aspects. It's nice knowing that it is possible to do without these things, but it's also a little bit distressing knowing how hard it was to do this. Like, I felt fortunate because, I guess, for a month this was part of my job, was to try to not use these things. Mm-hmm. But if someone was trying to implement it in their own life, it does come with a large amount of inconvenience.
Right. So, there are a bunch of tips in the article, too. It's called How I Quit Apple, Microsoft, Google, Facebook, and Amazon. It's a piece by Daniel Oberhaus at Motherboard, part of Vice Media. Daniel, thanks so much for sharing the experiment with us.